Welcome to worship. Nice to have you here. Let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take a moment. Dale, this is the day the Lord hath made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Let's get an amen out of you.
Amen.
And they said we'd never get an amen out of a Lutheran church. I knew you had it in you. Say, what a beautiful day. Choir singing a wonderful song called Rain on Me. Rain on Me. Well, we can be rained on, but then let's let the sun shine on us, okay? Couple of announcements. Some of you didn't get your newsletters, and I suppose it was the holiday or something, or maybe they were celebrating opening that credit union up in Aiken, so they didn't get the newsletter out. Anyway, they're hoping that you'll get them tomorrow if you didn't get them last week, okay? Next week, outdoor worship service at 8:30 and 10. Outdoor worship service at 8:30 and 10. Sure you want to do that? Mosquitoes, man. Better get them sprayed. Anyway, bring your lawn chairs, all right? Veggie stand. We had a wonderful time at the veggie stand, but someone forgot or didn't know. Now, for the month of June, the veggie stand isn't open. But in July and August, veggie stand's open again, so keep that in mind. There were already 3 loaves of bread and a couple pies, and I don't know if there's anything left in there, but if you'd like that, put a little something in that offering plate that's there. Craig, you got some update on the tar. They're going to tar and feather your pastor. No.
Just a couple things.
Holy smokes,
I asked for 5. Pastor gave me 2 minutes. So.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware that the resurfacing of the parking lot will take next Friday. They'll be here to do the resurfacing right away in the morning. They've asked that there's no vehicles in the parking lot. So any office staff, any volunteers that are going to be up here on Friday, you might have to park maybe at the parsonage or on the grass or somewhere, and then walk through the back door. So they don't have to tow any vehicles, so we can get it all done. You can drive on it the next day, so we'll be good right away on Saturday and for Sunday services, and then it will not affect Vacation Bible School. 2 to 3 weeks, they'll be back to sweep the excess rocks and then stripe it. So it'll be after Vacation Bible School that they'll finish on that. Also, you may have heard, or you may have seen, you may have attended some of the sessions with Randy on the new sound system. The equipment has been purchased. Installation will take place in the next couple weeks. And this will support our music program for well into the future. It will help replace the accompanists, piano, organ, those type of things. And until we're fortunate enough to find another talented person to do those things. So that's underway as well. And we are looking for worship and music has taken the lead on this project. They are looking for volunteers to learn how to operate the system. I'm told it's very simple. So if you're willing to do that, please see Winnie Zorotka in correspondence with that. The parsonage, again, is an ongoing thing. This month, June's council meeting, I think we'll have a recommendation from the property committee on what we need to do with the parsonage. It looks like, regardless of what we do, we may need some alternate housing for either an interim pastor, if it's remodeled, updated, or replaced. It is a big benefit when hiring a new pastor. Just keep in mind that the Synod recommendation is 30% of the base salary goes for a housing allowance, which really pays for a mortgage payment or a loan payment of some kind. So there's quite a bit that needs to be done with the parsonage. Also for volunteers, council, we have two open positions for members to the council. So if you're interested with that, committee members are always needed. But also I want to thank, I see Judy Burke here. Judy volunteered to be our council secretary for this next year. So, Judy, I appreciate that. And I don't know if Steve Lackner is here, but Steve just volunteered to head up our personnel committee as well. So when you see Steve, please thank him. There he is. Thanks, Steve, for that as well. I appreciate it. Also, we have fundraisers coming up. Veggie Stand, of course. All the proceeds, the Veggie Stand goes to local benevolence. So please continue to support the Veggie Stand when it opens again in July. Beef and corn feed, Skip, I'm assuming. I haven't heard anything. We'll have the beef and corn feed again. A portion of that goes to Mississippi, still recovering from Katrina. And a portion stays here at Bethesda. So please help out Skip and Lynn with that as well. The Jamboree is going to go on again to help our music program. Amazon Smile, you may have seen some things in the newsletter and in the bulletin about Amazon Smile. Any purchase that you make on their website, they donate back. It's 0.5%. Doesn't sound like much, doesn't look like much, but it's free money. For us. So when you do order from Amazon, make sure you're on Amazon Smile. Save it in your bookmark, so when you go there, it automatically goes to that website. It is a different website, but it's the same prices, same products. And if you have any questions on that or anything that I go over here, you can see me in between services for coffee as well. And then Thrivent Financial. There's been questions on Thrivent Financial. They will match funds up to $250 for fundraising events here if we have a member that sponsors the event. An example is the Veggie Stand. If we just have a member of Thrivent sponsor that Veggie Stand, they'll match funds. And again, it's a donation from them, it's free money for us, and it's filling out a small form. So for all members, it's on the website. You can fill out a small form on the website, or your representative, whoever it may be in Iowa, Aiken, or wherever, they can help you do that as well. You may have heard, may not have heard, we have a possible special donation from a non-member family, they have asked if they could build a pickleball court on our property. So if you've heard anything of that, it is going to be fully supported by their donation. And Keith and Don Kellen have, and Sue Samuelson have worked on that project, worked on some bids, and all we're doing now is waiting for the check to make its way to our hands. And so if you hear anything about that, again, it's a fantastic donation from this family, and we'll have some enjoyment out of that. So, thank you.
You know, Craig, if you're going to talk that long, you've got to tell us a humorous anecdote. We've gathered to worship. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, we gather as your children. Some come with heavy hearts. Some come with joy in our souls. Some have many questions in our lives as to health and family and friends. Some come to rejoice and thank you for your many blessings. Remind us today we are all your children. You love each one of us absolutely, unconditionally. Allow us to trust you that whatever happens in our lives, whatever happens in our church, whatever happens in our families, that you want what's best for us and you'll bring us through whatever we face. So send your Spirit to stir our hearts and remind us that we are loved, and allow us to trust you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Morning Has Broken, hymn 556. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess, just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the sorrows of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds. Forgive us our sins. Free us to love. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Compassionate God, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading this morning, thank you, choir. Rain or no rain, good song. First reading is from 1 Kings 17th chapter. Having offered hospitality to Elijah, a widow of Zarephath loses her son to an illness. Through prayer, Elijah restores the boy to life, and the joyful mother acknowledges that Elijah is indeed a man of God. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. Then she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up to the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." The psalm today is Psalm 30. Please respond with the dark print. When you see the bold R, read, "My God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health." "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let mine enemies triumph over me."
"O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health."
"You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave."
"Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks and holy remembrance. My God, I cry out to you, and you restore me to health."
"God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning."
"While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed."
"You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear."
"I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying,
what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?"
"Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. My God, I cry out to you, and you restore me to health."
"You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy."
"Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this third Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 7th chapter of St. Luke. Jesus' ministry bears witness to God's coming reign, where the lowly are shown mercy and the dead are raised. Here Jesus ministers to a widow by raising her only son to life. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people."
This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon, hymn 597. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse. Solid rock I stand, other ground is sinking sand. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning at the second service, we're going to have a confirmation. Anna Westerlund is reaffirming her baptismal vows. June 5th, 2016. As I was visiting with her yesterday or Friday, it occurred to me that there's only so many milestones we have in our lives. One would be baptism, but most of us are baptized as babies, so we don't remember our baptism. Then there's what we used to call confirmation. Now they call it the reaffirmation of our baptismal vows, where the church parents think the child is old enough to make his own promises that he'll follow the teachings of Jesus. That's a big milestone. Today, never was occurred to me in my day and age, because today the kids say, what are milestones? When you ask them, when they get their driver's license, a milestone. We didn't bother about about driver's licenses when I was that age. We just drove. Anyway, it's a big milestone for these kids. Then high school graduation, so there's three or four. And then marriage, I suppose, five. And then maybe birth of the kids, six for some. But, you know, you can count on one hand, two hands, milestones in our life. Really, a milestone is something very, very special, very, very important. On June 6th, 1976, that's tomorrow, June 6th, 40 years ago, I was ordained. That was a milestone for me. Down at St. Peter, Gustavus Adolphus, Christ Chapel, probably 1,200 people, all the bishops and pastors in their faulty wall, 14 of us were ordained. And we had to, during the service, a great big pipe organ. The pipe organ is as big as this room. I mean, it just blew. The whole building was expanding and contracting with the music and the singing and the pomp and circumstance. And they called us up during the service after the bishop preached and shook his finger at us and said, "You're God's child," and all the rest of that stuff. But 14 of us stood up there, and then parents and pastors and bishops laid their hands on us, and gave us each a blessing. And I was probably 11th or 12th in line. And I've never told this to anyone, but when they put their hands on me, I didn't feel anything. I was expecting power. You know, something was supposed to happen. Is there something wrong with me? I started asking. But then I thought, you know what? Sometimes we don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't feel the presence of God. But that's when, sometimes we feel like we're all alone. But that's when I tell myself, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that God loves me absolutely, unconditionally. I know that his power and his presence are with me. And he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that. And that's brought me through so many things. Now I got that off my chest. Thank you, after 40 years of carrying on. Today our lesson is on Elijah. Elijah going to a place called Zarephath. Elijah lived about 875 B.C., okay? King Ahab and Jezebel are king and queen. He's done things to offend Ahab and Jezebel. They're after him. They've had a 3.5-year drought. It hasn't rained. People haven't had food. God somehow tells Elijah to go to Zarephath, which is on the Mediterranean Sea. It also happens to be Jezebel's hometown, and he doesn't want to be anywhere near Jezebel. And then he tells him to go to a widow and have this widow make him bread and take care of him. Now, they didn't have social welfare programs like you and I. They didn't have, for $20, you get a couple boxes of food. They didn't have food shelves. And this widow didn't, it was a male-dominated society, so she had to beg for whatever she had. And God tells Elijah, go to this widow and she'll give you, make you bread and take care of you. And he's thinking, holy smokes. God's telling me to go to Zarephath, Queen Jezebel's hometown. She's after me. She catches me. I'm dead. And to live with this widow who's got nothing. But you know what? When God calls, you better answer. When God calls, you better answer. If God puts some thought in your head about making a visit or making a phone call or writing a card or going to a neighbor who's in trouble or a brother or sister in trouble, follow that. Follow that, because that's the work of the Spirit of God. Okay. 2 weeks ago, my brother's house burned down in Quamba. Dickinson's grew up near Quamba on what I call Muck Lake. It was Quamba Lake now. They cleaned it up. Anyway, the way I found out was my youngest sister's son, so my nephew, he's an entrepreneur. He's doing business in Czechoslovakia. He's on Facebook. He says he sees Uncle Ricky's house in the foreground and the house burning down in the background. He calls my youngest baby sister in Florida, says, Uncle Ricky's house is burning down. Beth gets on the computer, sees Ricky's house burning down. She calls me. I call my brother and my sister, say, Ricky's house is burning down. You know what my older brother says? He doesn't ask about my brother's wife, if she's okay. She says, are the dogs still alive? Anyway, my partner, Karen, says, I think we better go down. So we went down. And can you imagine losing everything? All he had was his cell phone in his pocket and a few credit cards in his wallet. All of her stuff is gone. If the Spirit calls you to go, if something calls you, tells you to call someone or visit someone, go. That's what's happening to Elijah, okay, 875 B.C. He goes. You know the story from here. Actually, he tells this widow, he says, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I can have a drink? And she says, you know. And then he says, and please bring me a piece of bread. She says, as surely as your God lives. I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to bring home to make a meal for my son and myself, and then we're going to die. Then we're going to die. This is our last meal. And Elijah's asking for her to make some bread. He says, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you said, but first make a small loaf for me. Bring it to me. Make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day when the Lord sends rain on the land. And it's 3.5 years that it doesn't rain, according to the scriptures. She uses her last resources to provide for this prophet who wasn't even of her faith. I mean, she didn't know him. He was from a different religion. Food and the oil just kept coming. Just kept coming day after day after day, as Elijah said. There's food every day for the woman and her son. The jar of flour wasn't used up. The jug of oil didn't run dry. I'm thinking this widow was ready to die. She must be thinking, hallelujah. Life's going to work out. I may be poor and times might be hard, but someone's looking after me. And then the story takes the twist. And that's where our lesson takes place. The son falls ill. And this scripture, it depends what version you read, but this version says he dies. And this widow says, did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? She asks Elijah, did you do this? Is that what you're here for? It felt like she was being punished for something she had done. That's a theology that some of us carry. We think bad things happen and we think God's getting even. It's not a theology that's part of Jesus' thinking. Jesus' thinking was to love everybody, to bring peace and joy and hope to everybody. In the fourth chapter of St. Luke, Jesus tells the story a little different. He says, I assure you that there were... This is Jesus talking about this story. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to anyone, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha. That's the prophet that followed Elijah. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. So God cleanses the Syrian fellow. And not any of the people of Israel, not any of the same faith. God says, Elijah, to this woman who was a worshipped god Baal. There was lots of idolatry in the time of Elijah. People had left following the one god, and they followed Baalism. Baalism had many statues, idols that they'd worship. If a woman wanted to get pregnant, they'd bring out the fertility goddess and pray for her. That the woman would get pregnant. If they had a big business deal, they'd bring out the idol that had to do with business deals. If they were planting crops, they'd bring out the idol and pray for crops. The God of Elijah was one God above all gods. And God sends Elijah to this woman who worshiped different gods. That was what she was raised with. That's what her parents were. That's what her neighbors were. She would have sang, Baal loves me, this I know, instead of Jesus loves me. I mean, so she doesn't know any different, but Jesus, Elijah comes on the scene and says, my God will take care of you, and he does. And then the son gets sick, and she blames him. Oh, is your God making my son sick and he's going to die? And Elijah goes, takes the son, and goes upstairs to an upper room. They probably had animals down below, and they lived above the animals for the warmth and so on. And he lays down, prays to God, and the son comes back to life. This woman probably is as happy as can be, because now she'll have some support when the son grows up. He will be able to take care of her in her old age. She sees the power of the God of Abraham and Elijah and Jesus at work. She knows that God is powerful. In a restricted universe, we say, charity begins at home. We should just take care of our own. In this lesson, I think we're reminded that God loves everybody. God loves people of all religions, people of all nationalities and colors. God loves everybody, not just Christians. Not just Jews, not just Muslims, not just Buddhists. Our God is a God of everybody. He doesn't only go to the Jewish people. He goes to the people who are worshiping other gods. God still loves them. That's just something else we should get from this. When I was ordained, the call system in the churches were kind of funny. Long story short, I went up to a place called Embarrass and Pike Townships in the middle of nowhere on the Iron Range. You know Embarrass? How cold it gets? Well, the church up there took the, they had their church on the top of a rise, on the top of a hill. They cut the whole trees off the top of the hill and they put the parsonage up there. And when the winds blew in the wintertime, with the heavy-duty insulated curtains down, the curtains would still blow. It was a great, I loved the place. My wife, no. Anyway, they said we should insulate the place or do something. Well, they had some industrial plastic at the Erie Mine. So they bring back this heavy-duty coated plastic, and they proceed to wrap the house in this plastic, and it warmed the, you know, the curtains didn't blow, but Karen says, can you please cut a window out where I do my dishes so I can see what it looks like outside? I got a lot of stories. I was having so much fun that I thought, I should do some work, because all the guys wanted me to do was fish and hunt with them and have fun with the kids on hay rides and ski trips, and they'd support that. And it was wonderful, but I thought, dumb Finlander. I says, don't you think you should do some work? I would do 30, 35 funerals a year because the Missouri Synod Church on this side and the Missouri Synod Church on this side wouldn't do the funerals unless you were members, so everyone else came to me. Anyway, I went down to Anoka. Had a bad situation in Anoka. I worked my tail off. The boss, my senior pastor, and I didn't get along. Called the bishop's office. Talked to Herb Chilstrom, the bishop. I said, I've got to get out of here. Can you move me? Nothing happened. I called him 3 months later. Can you move me? Nothing happened. 6 months later, he calls and says, Jim, someone's coming in from World Ministries. You want to talk to him? I said, I'll talk to anybody. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here, man. He comes in. This doesn't even seem right, but he invites us to his hotel room. It's a double queen-size bed thing. We sit on one bed. He sits on the other bed. We're looking into the toilet. He explains 28 places that are open in the world. We say we'll go to any English-speaking place. He says there's three: Kuala Lumpur, Bangkok, Thailand, or Singapore. He says we'll go to anyone because we can keep our kids with us. A week later, he says, can you fly to New York? We got to run you through the psychiatrist, see that you're all there. I go to the psychiatrist, try and find the subway when you're a wet behind the ears kid. In New York City, it was fun, but we go to the psychiatrist. I go first, got to run Karen and I through. And I see a picture behind in this nice office of the psychiatrist in Brooklyn. And I ask about the picture. It's a fishing picture. I says, tell me about that picture. He tells me about how his cottage is on this lake and how's the fishing. And he tells me about the fishing and how do you do it this way. And he tells me about the beauty in the community. And 45 minutes later, he says, oh my, I've got to talk to your wife. So you get out of here. And he put my wife through the grinder. How is she going to get along in a male-dominated society, you know, when this was the day of bra burning and all the rest of that stuff going on in America? Long story short, he put her through the grinder. We joked when we got overseas that the ones who failed the psychiatrist tests are the ones they sent overseas. Anyway, 2 months later, we were on a plane flying halfway around the world. When God calls, you listen. And always know that he's going to be with you. When we moved halfway around the world, my wife and I had to get along and communicate and talk. It was the best thing that happened for us. Our kids, when they got home from school, one was going one way, one was going another, didn't like each other. They would have these little fights, and I'd say, you better get along because you're the only ones they have and they're best friends today. They went to the best school, had the best education they ever could have had when they were in Singapore. When God calls, you better listen. When he leads and guides, just know that he's always going to be there with you, right by your side. That's what Elijah found out. That's what this widow found out. And she wasn't even of the same religion. and she was blessed. Our God is a God that's as big as, way bigger than our minds. I hear things that happen in our lives, things that happen in our church, sometimes we wonder why in the world they're happening. I just got to trust God that something good's going to come out of it, okay? When tough things are happening in your life, trust God that something's good going to come out of it. Either you're going to get stronger, or your faith is going to grow, or you'll see his power and his presence at work that'll give you a sense of peace in the midst of this uproar. Trust God. That's what happened to Elijah. That's what happened to this widow of Zarephath. And that's what will happen to you and me if we trust God. Something for us to think about today. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join together in singing our offertory hymn, This Little Light of Mine, 677. And we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering.
Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. God, we praise you for revealing your gospel to prophets, preachers, and leaders in your church. Inspire their continuing faithful proclamation. Lord, in your mercy. God of the living and the dead, work in your creation and work through us in such ways that lead to life for your creation and for all people. Lord, in your mercy. God of the city, we pray for cities, urban areas, suburbs, small towns, and all communities. Look favorably on all lands. Bring peace where there is conflict and cooperation where there is disagreement. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One, you see the needs of those who suffer. When we are sick, tend to us and to our neighbors. and give us gratitude when we are well. Especially pray for Bill Johnson, Lois. We pray for those in our lives who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Giver of joy, make your presence known in this assembly. Give us such a clear and bold share of your spirit that your life and vitality shine through us into our neighborhood. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love. Unconditional, absolute, always being there for us. We pray we might walk in that love and share that love this day and in the days to follow. If you could smile upon our loved ones and keep them close, we would sure appreciate that. Oh God, you have called the saints your own. Gather us into your kingdom and the promise of life forever with you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lift our prayers to you, oh God, trusting your promise to hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so we gather at this holy table, ever mindful of Christ's presence in our lives. It was at this table where he celebrated his last supper with his family and disciples. At that table he took bread, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms
and satisfying us with food and drink,
the body
and blood of Christ.
Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And now may the blessing of the Lord God Almighty, the blessing of Christ, the Lamb who was slain, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit of truth be among you and remain with you now and forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Our closing hymn is 856. Sing the first, second, and last verse.